today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. His word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word. What a joy it is to have you join us today, and we thank you for listening. We hope that our program is a blessing to you today. We've been talking about, for the last couple of weeks, what you should look for in a church. When you go in to visit a church, maybe you're looking for a church. What are the things that you look for? Do you just look at the buildings? Do you look at how people are dressed? Is it according to the music? Oh, there are so many different kinds of churches today and different styles of churches, but there are some very important things that you should look for when you go to visit a church or when you're looking for a church. And so that has been our study, and we're going to continue that today as we consider His Word. We're going to begin in Matthew chapter 16. If you'd like to join us over there, go find you a Bible and sit down with us as we consider the Word of God for just a moment. While you're doing that, I have something very important that I wanted to talk to you about today. For the last several years, this ministry has been supported by several friends and many who have helped us out and partnered with us in the Consider His Word radio broadcast. I was recently informed that some of these friends aren't going to be able to continue, and so we're looking for new partners to help us in this ministry. If you'd like to do that, you can write to us, first of all, at Consider His Word Ministries, 30290 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. You can also go to the website at considerhisword.org, and we'd love to hear from you. We're going to be setting up pretty soon a way that you can give to this ministry through PayPal or through some other ways. And so we are looking for, now, the most important thing is that you would just pray for us. I believe that God wants this ministry to go forward and that God can supply the need. And so would you pray for this ministry, that God would supply for Consider His Word Ministries and help us to continue this radio broadcast. Now, we are continuing our little prayer journals, and we'd love to get one to you. These are absolutely free. Just simply write to us. You can write to us through the address I gave you a few moments ago. You can write to us through the website or just email me directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Please pray for us. As we look at next year and for the next few months, we're pretty good for the rest of the year, but next year we need to start thinking about how we're going to fund this ministry. And so pray about that for us, if you would. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 16. Jesus was talking. Some people had come to him. I want to pick up in verse 13 and read just a little bit, and then we're going to pick up with where we've been. Now, if you'd like to hear, by the way, the earlier messages in the series, you can find them at the website, considerhisword.org. Click on radio programs, and you'll find all of the programs in this series there. Matthew 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said he would build his church. I wonder what he thinks about the church today. I think there are certain characteristics that ought to be in every church. And we've gone over several of these. I want to go back and touch on them just briefly, and then we'll continue this series today with a couple of new ones. First of all, it's so important that the church is a place where God is glorified. That should be the most important thing in every church. And I know in some churches they have different emphasis on different things, but the absolute most important thing is that God be glorified. Psalm 86:9 says, "All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name." One of my favorite verses in Scripture, Psalm 29:2, that says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So a church ought to be a place where God is glorified. It also ought to be a place where God is loved. Now, I know those two are very closely related, but it's so important. You know, that goes back, remember, to the great commandment that we should love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Very closely related to that is a place, the church ought to be a place where people are loved. I know several churches that have as their motto or as their theme, love God, love people. Not like that. That's good. A church ought to be a place where people are loved, where when somebody walks in, immediately they feel the love of God. Have you ever walked into a church and people are looking at you like, "Well, where did you come from? What are you doing here?" I've been in some of those churches. It's not a pleasant thing. It ought to be a place where people are loved, not by how they're dressed or how much money they have, but because God loves them, we should love them as well. The church ought to be a place where the gospel is preached. Very clearly, Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And the church ought to be a place where the gospel is clearly preached and clearly presented, and people are given an opportunity to respond to the gospel. I think I related earlier this story about a man that took his dad to church, and he was so hoping that his dad would hear the gospel and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took his dad to church that evening, and they had some kind of a program or some kind of a play, and it was fine, but the gospel was never clearly presented. And that man left brokenhearted that his dad was not able to hear the gospel that night in the house of God. Every service, whether it's on a Sunday night or Wednesday night or Sunday morning or any other night, the gospel ought to be presented. I've been to gospel concerts where they sang and sang and sang, and not one time was the gospel presented to anyone. Now, what I want to especially touch on today is that the church ought to be a place where the Bible is taught. The Bible ought to be the textbook of every church. If you walk into a church and they hand you another book and say, "This is what we go by," you ought to turn around and walk out the door. I love it when a preacher stands in the pulpit and says, "Turn to," and he opens the Word of God and takes us straight to a verse. I've heard some messages where the Bible was not open one time. I believe every message ought to start with "open your Bible to," and we begin in the Word of God. Every church ought to have the Bible as its textbook. Scripture says, 2 Timothy 3:16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." It's given by God, by inspiration of God, and he says it's profitable for doctrine. That's teaching. For reproof, that's to tell you when you're wrong. For correction, how to make it right. And instruction in righteousness, how to live for God. We say that the Bible is our guide, and it ought to be in every church. Psalm 119:105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." We say the Bible is our rule of faith and practice, and that ought to be true in every church, that whenever there's a dispute or whenever there's something that people aren't grasping, how to go straight to the Word of God and find it there and explain it out of the Word of God. Everything should be based in the Word of God. And Luke 4:4, Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You see, it's the Word of God that gives us faith. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God from Romans 10:17. It's when we hear the Word of God that it encourages our faith and it builds our faith. Now, I believe that includes reading the Word of God. I believe that includes hearing the Word of God. But it's also important that we're doing the Word of God. I think maybe we have so many weak believers today because they have not sat under the true preaching of the Word of God. Oh, they hear all kinds of stories and just little things, but they don't get into the meat of the Word of God where the Bible is preached. The Word of God gives us faith and builds our faith. Every service, the Bible should be opened and presented in some way. I don't care what's going on, even if it's some kind of an activity. I remember years ago when I was in a youth department and we had a skating activity. We had a great time, and our preacher got up, or our youth director got up, and he presented the gospel again. And later, he met with some of the leaders individually, and he said, "I want you to understand," he said, "whenever we have these activities, it's not the activity is not the point of what we're doing. The whole point is to give people the gospel." And he said, "We will always, no matter what we're doing, if we're skating, if we're doing some kind of other activity, going to a cookout or whatever it is, every place the Bible should be open and they're taught. In every Sunday school, the Bible should be there. In every service, the Bible should be there. In revivals, in gospel sings, the Word of God must be taught. We must never abandon the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God." And I believe this is what is happening today in many churches. The Bible is not there, and they're not teaching, clearly teaching the Scripture. Every Christian ought to be a student of the Word of God, and in the church ought to be a place where he learns about the Word of God and hears the Word of God and grows in the Word of God. And I hope you find a church, and that you're in a church where the Word of God is faithfully taught. Our time is gone. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
His word will give you wisdom for tomorrow, today. His word will give you hope so you can face another day. His word will give you strength to know he's sovereign in his ways. His word will give you joy. Word will grow your faith. Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.
Consider his word.